Hey y'all, are you looking for Glorilla? Some chocolate superfood with organic vanilla. Food-based vitamins keep you a healthy fella. Use your wife's credit card, don't even have to tell her. Go to Natural News Store, that's what it's there for. Get your superfoods, herbs, and a lot more. Feel young like you did before, and let Mother Nature's medicine work it like it's there for. I know you care for your health, therefore don't eat those GMOs, throw them out the back door. Don't stay poor with the diet if it's killing you. Enjoy your life with nutrition that's filling you. We got freeze-dried fruit that's organic, super clean, super foods, best on the planet. Blueberry, strawberry, even pomegranate. Yeah, it's ready to ship, and if you buy it, you can have it. Yeah, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Check out store.naturalnews.com for all your organic supplements and superfoods. Or call 888-959-6415. That's 888-959-6415 to order now. Coconut, maca, spirulina, goji berry, superfood protein.
The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring.
Welcome. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with co-host, doctor, attorney, and author Mayor Eisenstein and vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, coming to you live Monday evenings on blogtalkradio.com at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific times. Proudly rebroadcast at naturalnewsradio.com on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific times. We welcome your calls. That number is area code 646-478-0772 and area code 646-478-0772. And you can email us at mayor@homefirst.com. That's M-A-Y-E-R at homefirst.com and attorney@vaccinerights.com. This is, what is this? September 8th. 2014. I'm vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, and with me my wonderful co-host, whose heart is every bit as big, if not bigger, than the list of credentials behind his name. Mayor, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm absolutely wonderful, Alan. Absolutely wonderful. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, the last few weeks, a lot of the social media has been buzzing with the stories about the falsification of data, by the CDC in a 2004 study claiming there was no correlation between the MMR vaccine and autism. Turning out they left out some of the data, they fudged the data, and that's just been buzzing throughout the media, you know, as such. And then all of a sudden today, or a couple of days ago, we start hearing about an outbreak of a mysterious virus called Enterovirus 68, which is a respiratory virus in children, one that's quite serious and put many, many children into intensive cares. Don't you find it interesting that this the two together, because every story that you read about it says, and there isn't a vaccine for it yet. It's kind of like focusing, taking away that all the work that the CDC has done, so much of it now comes under question, and all of a sudden they kind of bring up this type of a mysterious rare virus which is affecting children, and just before they go back to school. Interesting. And what's most unique about just before children go back to school? The majority of them get vaccinated with multiple vaccines. Is there a relationship? I don't know.
Well, an interesting timing, too. This would be a good time to come up with something to distract from all the CDC stuff. Mayor, I have never seen so many articles over and over again, follow-ups, updates, with any other vaccine issue. Even during the swine flu pandemic, I don't think there were as many articles and as frequently as I'm seeing in the alternative media now with this whole CDC thing. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it unfolds. Now, I wanted to take a minute or two here to encourage people go to a website called autismactionnetwork.org. It's all three of those words spelled out and run together, autismactionnetwork.org. John Gilmore has sent out a couple of action alerts on this CDC issue, and one of them, he's saying, and you can, excuse me, you can do this through the autismactionnetwork.org website to contact your representatives to encourage them to support Representative Bill Posey. He's trying to get an investigation by Congress into these allegations of fraud made by senior CDC scientist William Thompson. And this is one of those issues, Mayor, that if it just is, you know, hot for a few days and we allow it to blow over, that it'll do exactly that, blow over. But if we keep pushing this, we can take this issue to the next step. It will not die unless we let it die. And so I want to encourage folks to go to autismactionnetwork.org and look for the action items. Now, one of them is just about contacting your own representatives, which I believe you can do through the Autism Action Network website. And hopefully we can put enough pressure on enough congressional representatives that this call for an investigation will go forward and something can happen rather than this whole thing just hits the media for the alternative media for a little while and then blows over. Now, the other action item that John Gilmore is doing, again, through autismactionnetwork.org, is that Representative Bill Posey has asked for our help in his solitary fight to get a full investigation by Congress. He's looking for, let's see if I got my information here. I don't know if I have the right page here or not, but he's looking for vaccine adverse event stories and people who've had vaccine adverse event problems. So he's asked us, Representative Posey has asked to send him our stories of vaccine injury, especially if you or a family member was injured by the MMR vaccine. He wants copies of stories to share with his colleagues to persuade them that they must investigate. There are, Mayor, I know I keep repeating this over and over again, but I think it really bears repeating. On average, by my latest calculation, for the last 25 years, the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program has been paying out over $110 million per year for vaccine injury and death. And many of those injuries and deaths are associated with the MMR vaccine. So there's no shortage of people out there who can potentially help. But we need to get in touch with those people and have them contact Representative Bill Posey with the U.S. Congress because he's trying to push this issue to a point to get a full investigation by Congress. Now, I don't know, you know, whether a full investigation by Congress is something that can happen with integrity if it happens at all, but I think it's something worth pursuing. Not everybody in the system is corrupt, and the system by design, I think, is on the whole reasonable to good. There certainly are some people who misuse and abuse the system for personal or private interests. And so it can be difficult sometimes to get the system to work. But I think it's something that really bears supporting on our part.
I totally agree with you. Alan, give them the website because I have a comment to make on that also so people can look it up.
Yeah, it's all these words spelled out and run together, autismactionnetwork.org. And I believe that that website is set up that you can take action right there on the website and contact your representatives and quite potentially contact Bill Posey as well. But that would be easy enough to look up. I believe Bill Posey is a representative from Florida, but it would be easy enough to do a Google search. His last name is P-O-S-E-Y, Posey, Bill Posey. Be easy enough to go to the website for Congress and search his name and find his contact information if you needed to do it that way.
You know, Alan, I think there's one thing that we somehow have to figure out how to do, and that is kind of we're fighting the battle at the wrong level. The level to find it is to have our congressmen, congresswomen, our members of the FDA, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, not be able to go and take a job in the private sector for at least 5 years after they leave the CDC. In my mind, that's one of the biggest conflict of interest where you're able to leave the investigation committee, a committee that's supposed to protect us, and then go into the private sector. You know, and if you're a good boy or a good girl and you introduce legislation or action that favors, be it the food industry, be it the pharmaceutical industry, you will get rewarded to a high degree, and that's been shown over and over again. And we have to cut that off so that doesn't happen. Someone who dedicates themselves to public service has to stay in public service but not go into a where there's a conflict of how their opinion could possibly potentiate a study, and we see this very readily. If this hadn't come out about the 2004 study, and there'll be study after study to show this corruption, it's poisoned these people. They most probably won't be able to get a job within the CDC, within the private sector. But we've got to stop that because that's we tried doing that in Illinois about 8-9 years ago. We got one of the Illinois, this was on a local level, to introduce legislation that if you served on any public health office in Illinois, you couldn't take a job in a similar private sector for 5 years, and it got nowhere. And the governor at the time said he would veto it even if it got to the top.
Yeah, well, the mayor, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. That is such a critical piece. We saw that with the CDC back in 2009. What was her name? Julie Gerberding, if I'm remembering
Julie
the name correctly.
Right.
Yeah, she announced. Not only did she do this, but she was proud of it and made a huge announcement that she was leaving the CDC to go be president of Merck Vaccines. And, you know, how more blatant can you get?
And not only Merck vaccines, it was the Gardasil vaccine, the vaccine for the HPV virus, which she was responsible for at the CDC as being her pet project.
Yeah, so your point is profound, Mayor, and a really good one. And when we're contacting representatives about any related issue, we should bring this issue up as well and just, you know, insist. And however many times and however long it takes for it to happen. You know, of course, the people who are in positions of control don't want to surrender that control.
Alan, I think we Oh, we're back. We're back. Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, we had a problem here, a technical problem with the system here.
You know, I want
sorry
to
about that,
more,
folks.
Yeah, I want to make one more mention going back to the this enterovirus 68, or its name is EVD-68, and they say there is no treatment for it, and but that's not true. It's absolutely not true. I mean, we know there's some very good treatments. Are they totally effective? No. But they have a great effect. Vitamin D, vitamin C, and probiotics. And this has been shown over and over again to have an effect in boosting the immune system for all respiratory viruses. And I'm just going to stay within respiratory viruses. And I think it's really important, especially now as we're leaving the summer months, where the probability, especially up north, of getting any vitamin D is minuscule, to make sure that we have good enough levels of vitamin D, vitamin C, and probiotics. And I always start with vitamin D because that's the one that you can't get from any food sources. It's only available from the sun and from fish, but the fish are way too contaminated. Some wild mushrooms, that's way too dangerous. And anyone who thinks you're getting from milk is not. Milk is a very poor source of vitamin D. So everyone should look into it. I talk about it extensively, that's got to be our main arsenal against all these viruses. And study after study have shown you have high levels of vitamin D, you have a low probability of developing any type of respiratory illness.
And that is particularly important, Mayor, when you realize that despite all the hype about the influenza vaccine, that has at most, what, four different viral strains, and then there, depending on whose figures you go by, over 200 maybe different viruses associated with influenza-like illnesses, and even some of the recent peer-reviewed published medical studies have pointed this out, that when they actually test for influenza, when you have the influenza diagnoses, that it actually turns out to be a pretty small percentage of them that test positive for influenza. So that even if the vaccine were to work effectively and was safe, both of which are highly questionable, it still is only addressing a tiny percentage of the overall potential viruses out there for getting flu-like illnesses. So.
Vitamin D, vitamin C, and probiotics, you know. And one more thing just to say, this is not it doesn't have a high amount of death associated with it, but it has a tremendous amount of symptoms and can lead to death from a breathing difficulty. And that's one of the things that's most important to, if you have a child, and they talk about especially with asthma and allergies. And interesting enough, children who are not vaccinated have a fraction of the allergies and asthma of those children that are vaccinated.
Yeah, and so this all speaks pretty loudly. Well, we have to do two different things, Mayor. We have to find out for ourselves, be proactive about what information is there and what is there that we can do to take care of our health, and then be proactive in whatever way and whatever extent you're able to in supporting and promoting a right-to-choose agenda where vaccines are concerned, and this means becoming ultimately, I think, legislatively active in one way or another. And the National Vaccine Information Center's advocacy portal that we talk about frequently on this show is a really good way for people to become legislatively active without having to spend a lot of time and energy. It's nvicadvocacy.org, nvicadvocacy.org. And that's the only website that does what they're doing. They monitor vaccine legislation and only vaccine legislation around the country. So you can go to the site and see what's going on in your state and around the country and jump in and participate. And if you sign up, which doesn't cost anything, they'll tell you who your representatives are and how to get in touch with them. So it couldn't be any easier to participate now than it ever has been. And people can be active, and they can oppose bills that are just furthering the vaccine agenda, more vaccines and less right to say no, and support those bills that would give us more informed choice. So nvicadvocacy.org, highly recommend going there. It's a terrific website designed by Dawn Richardson and her husband maybe 3 or 4 years ago at this point, and now hosted by Dr. Joe Mercola at Mercola.com website, I think. But the address again is, I think it's on Mercola's servers, but the web address again is nvicadvocacy.org.
Alan, have you had a chance to watch some of the really heart-wrenching videos by the mothers and fathers and grandparents who posted in Hear This Well, one of the hashtag Hear This Well or hashtag CDC Whistleblower, their child who became autistic after a vaccine? And there's up to some hundreds and hundreds of parents have been posting very short videos, and they intend to send it to Congressman Posey. And the one that may have been the most heart-wrenching to me was a mother who just held pieces of cardboard written on it. Says, "My son can't speak, he can't read, you know." And so she just talked about how he was perfectly normal. It was just written out on a cardboard. Then the next one was, he then had an MMR vaccine. He all of a sudden, we lost him for good. It was kind of really just very heart-wrenching because, I mean, it just, you can't watch more than a few at a time because they're so depressing. But I think it's important that everyone also who has a child affected by vaccine post it on Facebook, just like you were saying, Alan. You know, and you, if you want, you can go to, it'll get picked up, and use hashtag Hear This Well. And the only problem with the Hear This Well, it looks like Heart His Well. It's all one word. Remember, it's one. Hashtag Hear This Well and hashtag CDC Whistleblower, and it'll start getting picked up everywhere.
That's great, Mayor. It's so hard to even see this, you know, one tragedy in a single family when you realize this has happened thousands and thousands and thousands of times all over the country and all over the world. And these people knew about it, have known about it for many years, and, you know, we can only speculate what goes on in their brains or lack of brain, the space between their ears, that anybody would allow this to go on. And what an incredibly courageous person it takes to step out of the mold after you've gone, you know, it's sort of a slippery slope, I bet, Mayor, for a lot of people, that once they step over the line, then the longer you hang on to the lie, the harder it becomes to say anything about it, because the longer you let it go, the bigger the problem for having done so. So it's for somebody to come forward, he had to have known that this could end his career, that this would receive massive criticism. But he also may have, you know, poked a hole in the dike here that's going to enable the dam to break, because you give, you know, these people, parents and others, you know, are out there all over the country, all over the world, and it's not like they just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. They've been there, and maybe this is giving them the focus, the channel, the opportunity, and the means to come together in a focused voice where they can finally be heard. So I really hope that that ends up being the case.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, here's where the social media works to people like ourselves and all the families who question the vaccine agenda, because we don't have the dollars, but we do have the internet connection.
Yep. So far.
So far. Oh, don't even say that.
We'll
so
see.
Right.
Well, Mayor, we have a caller on the line. Why don't we go to the caller in, who's been patiently waiting now for several minutes and see what we have. We have a caller here with area code 310. You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. It's Brad with the next vaccine school pre-K update for you. I think this is the fourth
hey, Brad,
installment.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for asking. I met with the nurse for our son for pre-K to talk about vaccines on Monday. Oh, actually on Friday, because she's only in the school once a week. So it was last Friday. And I told her that, you know, we're not vaccinating. So I sat down with her and she gave me the lecture about, oh, well, you know, it's so bad, there is such risk. if he gets whooping cough, it could escalate so fast, you know, that, oh, my God, and, you know, and, oh, you should have the HPV, and da-da-da, and so I did, I could have signed the religious exemption immediately and been out, but I elected to go to the personal, so our doctor will sign it on this count, and they, so that will happen on Thursday, and I'll give it to her on Friday. But then she gave me a list of she says, these are next. When the children is seven, from 7 to 12 years old, this is the required list. And there were six of them, and it was MMR and DTaP and a couple of others, all with multiple dose requirements. And she made it sound like this is the required list. I didn't want to get into it with her in terms of, you know, hashing it out on that scale, but it sounds like they're turning the screws a little bit at LAUSD. I don't know how far that's going to go because our daughter is 7 years old next year.
Wow.
And so I don't know, you know, what that's going to mean because so far she skated through. They haven't asked any since she started kindergarten there last year. So I wanted to give you that update that she gave me this materials.
Let me tell you something, Brad. I had in the office today three new patients who had given lots of vaccines to her children. They were all little children, you know, less than 3, 4, 5 years old. The mother, one mother had three children. And she said she felt so bad and regretted that she had given so many vaccines. And I said, you haven't seen the tip of the iceberg. Your children still are in line for 30 or 40 more vaccines. And, Brad, you're bringing it out so beautifully. And she said, oh, I'm feeling a little bit better about myself now. That at least she felt that it was too late. She had already done everything that was needed. I said, are you kidding me? She says, then one had an eighth grader going into high school. This would be back. It's endless. It's an endless stream of these unproven vaccines given to our children.
Yeah, so I wanted it to give you that. So for all your people who might have listened about California, they might, you know, pick up a little intel on that. I'll try and keep you guys posted on how things progress. I can only pray that, you know, we can somehow skate through without being able to do any more because I'm really getting more and more adamant every day about
awesome.
The whole thing.
Brad, let everyone know the great work that you do for Alan and I in taking the radio show and taking out clips and putting it into SoundCloud. Let everybody know about that, please.
Okay, well, what I've been doing is I'm taking your one-hour shows, and I go through them, and I clean them up, and as along the editing process, as I clean them up, as the subject matter changes, I then cut that, and I create a subject-based podcast based on that topic. Like, I think a few that were done just over the weekend were, one was Fed health agencies too tight with pharma. Another was CDC admits non-vaxxers don't cause outbreaks. One was pediatricians too stubborn on vaccines. So within that context, we end up with these subject-based targeted podcasts that are on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/ Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. There's 142 up now. We got, I think I talked to you guys last week, we got 1,000 plays this week. We're in the mid 400s in terms of downloads, so we've got 11,000 plays. And now we're starting to average 1,000 a week in terms of plays, which is terrific. So we've reached some kind of critical mass, to use the nuclear phrase, where the thing has, really started to pick up some steam. And I think it's great because, you know, it really gives people a punctuated 3 to 5 minute podcast on a particular subject. And they can get them on their smartphones and on their tablets by getting the SoundCloud mobile app. So it's really, we're going to keep pumping them. because you guys do great with this, and some of your guests are so fantastic, and so some of the new ones are doing really well. That pediatrician too soft, too stubborn on vaccines, that thing is really taking off, and the CDC on non-vaxxers, that one is also. Those are both only up for a couple of days, and they're starting to take off.
Awesome. God bless you, Brad. Thank you so much. Be well.
Take care.
Now, before we go to break, Alan, I just have to commend Brad. I mean, the work he's done is phenomenal, because it's I can't even keep up with it. So, to try to get the information out, but I'll try as hard as possible, to get it out on Facebook, Twitter, but it's real exciting. I mean, it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, and it's just a real critical point there too, Mayor, because a lot of people just don't have the time to or energy or whatever to catch an hour show every week, but maybe they'll have the time to go catch the pieces of it that Brad has so painstakingly and wonderfully edited, cut down, categorized, and so forth, so people can get those 5 or 10 minute clips on a point of interest. So it's a terrific service.
He's done a great job, because you make a point, and then I talk about it, or I make a point, and you talk. It's fabulous. It's a great interaction, Alan, I think we have to go to break before we continue on.
Yep, we'll be right back, folks. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, Attorney Alan Phillips. We will be right back with you. Lots more to talk about, so stay with us, please.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening. The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancer using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
We are back with a Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, Attorney Alan Phillips. Mayor, I've got a great one for you here. This is just a few seconds long. A friend of mine sent me something that she had seen posted on the Internet, somebody talking to a friend and says, "We're having a flu shot party at my work next week. Free food, drinks, coupons for those who want to get shot up." Does that sound normal to you? You can have all the you can have all the vaccines you want, and you could have mine too. Good luck.
Oh, I love it. I just love it.
So now they're having flu parties at work. Flu vaccine parties.
unbelievable. I mean, you know, I just want to go back to one point, and that is because I really was so engrossed with other stuff, but I didn't get a chance to really look. There isn't enough information yet about, once again, this this threat of the EVD68, the enterovirus. And by the way, enterovirus is just it's in the family of the all the respiratory illnesses that cause colds, you know. And I'm just most interested still, as we're talking about who these the group of children that are getting infected. And by the way, it's not deadly, you know, which means of course you could die from it, but you die mainly not from the disease itself, but having breathing difficulties, and that's why it's important, like anyone who's having breathing difficulties, to get urgent medical care. But I'm still just fascinated by what Dr. King said to us a few weeks ago, the study which showed that children, it was a study where they received the flu vaccine, I think it was teenagers, and the one that a group that received it and the group that didn't receive it, and the incidence of influenza was about the same in both groups. But the amount over a year of respiratory illnesses was four times greater in the flu group, the ones who got the vaccine. And the author surmised that the immune system was weakened. And I go back to this somehow mysteriously happens at a time where you don't typically see respiratory illnesses. You don't see them in the summer all that much. But what's unique about the summer, especially the end of the summer, millions of children getting vaccines, possibly weakening the immune system, possibly making him more susceptible to this virus.
Well, it certainly makes sense, Mayor. I mean, you, as you point out, there's some peer-reviewed published research to show that effect, at least from flu vaccines. And depending on what exactly it is that's causing exactly what effect there, I mean, it could certainly be something that other vaccines do too. So certainly something we should consider. And you know, we all hear over and over again coincidence, and it's not evidence of proof of causation, but it certainly can be strong evidence supporting the need to do research to see whether or not there's a causal relationship. So definitely something that ought to be looked into further.
Exactly. Correlation doesn't mean causation.
That was the phrase I was looking for. Thank you. I have another interesting email here, Mayor, is one we were talking about a little bit before the show, where someone had emailed me, and she's asking, I'm wondering if it would be legal to open a vaccine-free daycare and what our liabilities could be. And she very kindly says, I thought you'd be the best person to ask, and maybe one of, if nothing else, one of the most receptive. But I thought maybe I'd put that out to you, Mayor, and see if you had any thoughts about that, medically, legal, or otherwise.
I thought about it when you asked me just shortly before the show. And the question, I would almost think that there's a problem from a standpoint of, can you exclude someone who wants to come to your daycare on the basis that they want to give vaccines?
It's an interesting, I guess, interesting question. And so, you know, is there a level, for example, as I recall, at least from a few years ago when my children were young enough, that was an issue, daycare in general, that my now ex-wife did a little bit of home daycare work, but very informally. And I seem to recall something about that if you had five or fewer children at home in a home daycare, then you weren't subject to the regulation that would apply to the larger operations. And so there might be a size distinction, for starters, as to whether or not you would run into possible regulations that would then, to one degree or another, in one way or another, control what you can and can't do, and are you subject to inspections and certifications and what have you. So that might be an issue for starters. And it's sort of interesting because if you are in a situation where you would be subject to certain kinds of discrimination or anti-discrimination laws, can't reject someone because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, things like that, such as, for example, that under federal civil rights law that employers can't discriminate against employees in these different categories. There may be, and surely are, state laws that prohibit discrimination in various contexts. And are there laws that prohibit that in daycares? I don't know. It's not something I've ever researched, so it's a really good question, but something, you know, subject to consideration and exploration of someone interested in this. But would categories of discrimination include not being allowed to discriminate against somebody because they're vaccinated, you know, or it's sort of an interesting question. What occurred to me when the question first came up was whether or not that would pose either literally in the real healthcare scientific world or in the minds of healthcare authorities, whether or not accurate, is that going to raise a point of concern? Is that seen as a pocket of susceptibility? If 'cause probably you have to, let's say for the sake of discussion, that you have to report the vaccine rates in your daycare. That's an increasingly becoming a requirement in states around the country. Any sort of school or daycare, if you're at a level where you're subject to regulations and regulatory control, you probably these days have to report vaccine status of your clients, your children, and so that would, of course, then potentially become a red flag for health departments. And what would they do with that, or what could they do with that? What authority do they have? And I really don't know. They might, you know, bring it to your attention and say, you know, we're concerned about this and so forth, but I doubt that there are any laws that would prohibit someone from operating a daycare where everyone there was not vaccinated, whether or not they could exclude people because they were vaccinated or refuse to allow them in. I don't know. It's another interesting question. A lot of unknowns on this question for me, Mayor.
For me, too. I mean, it's just really interesting, you know. And I think the biggest problem is the requirements, which have become more and more, to report the number of children that are vaccinated, the percentage. And that's exciting because what that means is there's lots who aren't vaccinated. Because otherwise, why would you bother? It's such an insignificant number.
Yeah. Well, I know there are pockets around the country, certain school districts that have unusually high exemption rates, for example, even though the overall state average may be a low number. In fact, there was data that came out last year saying that the average exemption rate in kindergartners around the country was 1.8%, I mean less than 2%. And I was really surprised to see a number that low because we see states claiming, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8% or whatever, and that's why what they're trying to use to justify changing the laws to make it harder to get exemptions. But, you know, those figures, I think, are not particularly reliable because you have to ask what are they actually counting, and many times they're counting every child who's not fully up to date with vaccines but have had a lot of vaccines. If you count just the ones who aren't vaccinating and are proactively exercising exemptions, it's probably more like the 1.82% range. But there are pockets where there are 10 or 15% unvaccinated kids in certain school districts around the country. So it does occur. And I know just the county that I'm in here in Western North Carolina, this county has something like 6 times the state average of religious exemptions. So there are going to be areas where exemption levels are significantly higher than surrounding areas or the national average. So why wouldn't it then also be okay to have a daycare with unvaccinated kids, especially if it was a relatively small number of children, you know, in one place? But it's interesting. It could very easily catch the attention of health authorities, and they might very well have a question or concern about that.
I totally agree. You know, very, very interesting. You know, I'm still, you know, I've been scanning the internet a little bit, and I'm still really bothered. Every single media outlet talking about. I'm still back. I'm hung up on the enterovirus 68. Doctors think the virus began to spread as children in some localities started to return to school. In some places, the outbreak has already peaked. There is no vaccine currently available. Every single media put them, there is no vaccine currently available. You know, it's like there's talking points. And no matter what, that's no one bothers to look into anything. That those are just the talking points.
Well, the sad reality, Mayor, is that we don't really have a free media. And I saw somebody point this out quite clearly and humorously at the same time. And I wish I could remember the phrase, but there was a YouTube video that showed at least 15 to 20 local news channels, reporters from around the country speaking on the exact same issue, and they were all using the exact same language and phrase and even the same little joke or whatever. And I don't remember what it was, I'm sorry to say, but it was a phrase that is not something that would just roll off the tongue of anyone anywhere. It was something that you had to be reading from the teleprompter or script or something to get that language. And by the time you hear it the eighth or ninth time, and it just keeps going one after the other after the other after the other, you just have to start laughing and say, well, clearly, you know, the news, the media is scripted, certainly was on that point, and clearly so. How much of the rest of what we hear is scripted? And these people, if they want to keep their jobs, they have to follow the script. And this is why people like Cheryl Atkinson and John Rappaport, who used to be mainstream journalists, are now out on their own, because they said they were no longer willing to accept being told that they couldn't tell the truth anymore. They couldn't report the results of their own investigative journalism. And they said no. But, you know, those people are wonderful, courageous people. We need as many of them as we can possibly get. But sadly, they're the exception. There are plenty of other people who, in order to keep their job, will acquiesce. They'll give in and follow the script. And I'm not so much sure, you know, if I blame them individually. Everybody has to make their own decision. It's just like I hear over and over again from healthcare workers where they say, you know, there are other people in my department at the hospital that don't want the flu shot, but they're afraid to even ask for an exemption. They just don't want to risk, you know, losing their job.
And
I can't really blame them. But on the other hand, if enough people don't dig in their heels and say enough is enough, then the machine keeps rolling forward and we all keep losing ground. You know, this is not a situation where, well, if we just get the flu shot, then we're done with this. There are literally hundreds of new vaccines in development and on the market. And I had a figure maybe 3 or 4 years ago at this point where there were over 330 new vaccines either in development or already on the market. And then a more recent figure just a few months ago, over 270 new vaccines that were already waiting for FDA approval or in clinical trials. So there are literally hundreds of vaccines just waiting to suck money out of our pockets and pump toxins into our blood. It's just, you know, that this has been carefully set up over a period of decades now to where they get government money to develop the vaccines, and then the federal and state governments purchase the vaccines, and the federal and state governments mandate the vaccines, and then the primarily federal, but even some state governments, pay for the injury and death caused by vaccines if you're unlucky enough to be a vaccine victim. But among those people lucky enough to find your way to the system and navigate it successfully, many, many people, I hear this, I've spoken with and emailed now recently with several vaccine injury attorneys. In fact, Mayor, I recently wrote to 129 vaccine injury attorneys throughout the country and invited them to be on a list that I'm putting together for those attorneys in the country that take vaccine injury compensation cases. And I'm going to be publishing that list and offering it to anybody who wants to email me and ask for a copy at vaccinerights.com. Attorney at vaccinerights.com. Mayor, vaccine injury attorneys will tell you is they get calls all the time from people who have missed the statute of limitations. They didn't know there was a program for some period of years, when they find out there's a program, they say, my child had a vaccine reaction, but because of an arbitrary, artificial time limit in the law that says if you don't file your case by this point after the injury, you don't get to file a case at all. And nobody tells these people if there is any such thing as a vaccine injury compensation program. Federal law requires people who administer vaccines to children to give them written information that tells about the program, but they apparently are not doing that consistently, if at all, in some cases. So nobody, you know, not nobody, but many people just don't even know about this program. So, Mayor, I really want us to make a point of reminding our listeners from time to time that there is a national vaccine injury compensation program. There are over 100 attorneys in the country who take these cases, and you can work with an attorney anywhere in the country on this. You don't have to work with somebody in your own town or even your own state. And they're ready to help these people, but you have to get to them before the statute of limitations runs out. And I think it's 3 years for an injury, and it's either 1 or 2 years if it's a vaccine death. So you have to get there in time. So if you or listeners, if you or anyone you know has a child with a suspected vaccine injury, get in touch with one of these attorneys who handle these cases. You know what? You don't have to pay them a dime. They get paid by the government to do these cases. So it doesn't cost anything, but you got to get to them in time, and these people can help you.
And we had that wonderful guest on, was it last week or the week before?
Yeah,
wrote
yeah.
A book on the vaccine court.
Yes, yes, Wayne Rohde. Yeah, terrific book. It's available on Amazon.com. It's called The Vaccine Court. Something like the subtitle, something like Dark Problems with America's Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. So a lot of information there to understand the that system and its problems. But despite its problems, there are, you know, many people who are successfully getting in and out of the system there and are getting some compensation. Not that that will ever make up for a tragic injury or death, but if you've had that experience, you deserve at least that. And so I encourage people to take steps to learn more about that. And folks can email us or me in particular if you want, you know, my list of attorneys that I recommend in this area. Mayor, we have a caller on the line here. You want to try and get this caller before we run out of time here? Okay, we have a caller from area code 845. You're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to comment about that daycare question. If it could be discriminatory to exclude children who are vaccinated, why isn't it discriminatory to exclude children from schools who are unvaccinated?
Oh, boy. You want to tackle that one, Mayor?
I'll let you tackle that, Alan.
Because I was going to say, once I get started, I'll lead up the rest of the time on this one, I'll tell you. I am really, really opinionated about this issue. You know, it's policy all over the country that if there's an outbreak, which they define as a single case of chickenpox, which usually happens in a vaccinated child, okay, that's your typical scenario, all of the unvaccinated children then have to stay home for the incubation.
Right, I understand that, but suppose that there is no measles outbreak, why would they exclude children who are unvaccinated from measles?
Well, the theory behind that is that if you're not vaccinated, then you pose
a risk
to yourself and others. But what they're not factoring in, and this is why I think that kind of policy is flawed medically and legally, is the fact that even the CDC, which uses very conservative figures, says that 5 to 15% of vaccinated children don't develop immunity from the vaccine. You know, and of course they blame it on the children. There's something wrong with them. The vaccines are fine. But in any case,
yeah, but what if I would argue that vaccinated children are tend to have weaker immune systems, and maybe if they were not spreading measles, they could be spreading 100 different bugs.
Well, you would be preaching to the choir if you're talking to Mayor or me. We'd be saying, yeah, we agree. The question is, how do we deal with these policies that are not based on science and medicine, but are based on fear?
But if somebody wants to open such a daycare and they're being challenged, you know, could they respond that?
Well, the way I think the level this needs to be addressed at is the legislative level, because the people at the school or the daycare, they have to follow the law. They have to follow the health department regulations, the state statutes. Mm-hmm. They have to follow the policy.
So sensible or not, they have to do what protocol
right.
meant.
They don't have authority to decide whether or not your argument makes sense and to act differently. So we've got to get either health department regulations revised. Good luck with that one. I think we have a better chance of dealing with this at the legislative level, not that that's anything short of an enormous uphill battle either. But we're dealing with more than just an information issue. We're dealing with people who have been steeped in a deeply emotionally anchored fear of infectious disease and fear of lack of vaccination or a deeply seated emotional belief in vaccination. Well, and the point is, though, that, yes, we have to have the information together, the sites and our arguments and so forth, very clear and concise, but we need to recognize that we're also battling emotional barriers that are probably usually subconscious. And so this makes the task much more difficult than just simply putting information in front of people. Or if it's not an emotional barrier, there are political barriers. You know, somebody individually might say, well, I'd like to help you here, but there's no way I can convince everybody else to do this. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Because of the money involved and so forth. So, the odds are stacked against us, but I don't see failure as an option here. You know, it's not like, oh, well, we tried. That's not good enough for me. So if you or anyone else listening wants to approach these things legislatively and wants my help, I'll do anything and everything I can, help put together the information. Again, the National Vaccine Information Center's advocacy portal is a good source of backup for that. People can there's all kinds of Facebook and Yahoo groups on the alternative vaccine views that people can join and reach out for support. So there's a lot of ways to pull together support and information, but I think we need to be sitting face-to-face mm-hmm. with state legislators. If you just call them up on the phone or send an email or write a letter, it's just going to get lost in the shuffle. But if you sit down face-to-face and can be focused and communicate your concerns with written documentation supporting it up.
They go with the flow, basically. And if they have enough people who want right. this kind of legislation, then...
Well, some of them, I believe, are probably bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, and it's not going to matter what you say. But others, I think, in there are really trying to do the right thing. So you have to figure out, you know, who is able or willing to help you. But the starting place is to sit down with your own representatives and see what kind of response you get. And to look for support from other people, you know, in your state to get up with their representatives as well. I am surprised on occasion how much of a difference an individual can make if they pursue something and stick with it. But the more people we can get, the better, because the pharmaceutical industry is against us on this, and they have a tremendous amount of clout and power in the political arena. So we need to make our voices heard, and better for one person to do something than nothing at all, but realistically, usually you're going to need a group of people if possible. But you mm-hmm. can get that. We have that in
awesome.
The alternative vaccine community.
We are absolutely. Thank you for your outstanding question, and thank you for listening. And
thank
Alan,
you.
I think we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we are down to the last few seconds here. You've been listening to the Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, Attorney Alan Phillips, with a couple of special guest callers in this evening. Thanks to both of them for calling in. We're here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and proudly rebroadcast on naturalnewsradio.com Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. We'll be back next week, same time. We'll look forward to having you here, folks. Good night.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring.
Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the